During the past days, I was reading some words by Philip Doddridge. Philip Doddridge was a great independent minister in the time of the Wesley brothers. And he wrote an analogy of the gospel. Mark the soft falling snow. Mark the diffuse of rain. To heaven from whence it fell, it turns not back again. But waters earth through every pore and calls forth all its sacred store. Arrayed in beauteous green, the hills and valleys shine. The man and beast is fed by providence divine. The harvest bows its golden ears, the copious seed of future years. So saith our God of grace, my gospel shall descend almighty to effect the purpose I intend, shall feel its power and bear it down to millions more. Joy shall begin your march, and peace protect your way, while all the mountains round echo melodious praise. The vocal groves shall sing to God, and every tree give consenting nod. What a wonderful thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what a terrible thing is to commit the colossal sin of rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be set free from the law of sin and the law of death is salvation indeed. But to remain in your sin, to die in darkness, and go out into the eternal darkness of the judgment of eternal hell is something that we should all tremble about. Mr. Spurgeon, in preaching one of his great gospel sermons, had this to say: coals of fire cannot be concealed beneath the most sumptuous apparel. They will betray themselves with smoke and flame. Nor can darling sins be long hidden beneath the most ostentatious profession. They will sooner or later discover themselves and burn sabbed holes in our reputation. Sin needs quenching in the Savior's blood. It doesn't need concealing under the garb of religion. This particular passage of Holy Scripture, the 12th chapter of Genesis, is a wonderful chapter in great simplicity, showing how salvation is offered. How salvation is rejected. How salvation turns us to heaven Jehovah God or rejecting it will turn us nearer to hell and the judgments of God's eternal wrath. Man doesn't call on God first, but God calls on man first. It is God that makes the glorious promise to sinful, dying men and women. Faith comes by hearing. Not that man answers immediately to what God says and calls to him about. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, please note it carefully. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham. Past tense. We don't know how long Abraham stayed among his family. He didn't immediately respond to the call. He didn't say, up everyone, we're going, we're leaving. No, he stayed where he was for a considerable time. God speaketh once, yea twice, but man perceiveth it not. The father of those that believe in the Lord, old Abraham, he didn't respond right away. How many times must you hear the gospel, sinner, before you're going to respond to it? But the Lord had said it. And God's word doesn't change. God takes the initiative in the salvation of sinners. Except he calls, you cannot come. You must first hear the call of the gospel. It's the hearing of that call that prompts and enables you to come, because God's call has within it divine magnetic power. Listen to these words of Scripture. Draw me, I will run after thee. Draw thee, and we will run after thee. Abraham heard and eventually responded to God's call. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. The effectual call of God leads to obedience. Obedience leads to faith. Faith leads to more faith. And praise God to justification by faith. Listen, sinner, tonight. Listen, sinner, and hear. Listen, sinner, and obey. You will only be justified and fitted for heaven as you respond to the call, the pleading of the God of all grace. There's a wonderful word in this chapter. It says to Abraham, fear not. Maybe you're here tonight, and as you look into your heart, as you search your mind and your thoughts, You realize you're a sinner, that you're headed for hell, an everlasting fire. But thank God, God's coming with the overtures of mercy. And he's saying, fear not. I haven't planned for you a place in hell. I have prepared for you a place in heaven. You just think about that. The way of the eternity, God planned for you a place not in the darkness, but a place in the light. And upon a cross, a bitter cross, a cross that brought the blood from the veins of Jesus, until he was a crimson man, crimson with his own blood. A cross in which he carried your hell, your judgment, your damnation, and your punishment. And he has said to you, wash, O sinner, wash and be clean. Christ's invitation is, come, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come and be healed, come and be cleansed, come and be saved, come unto the narrow path to heaven. Run for it. Dash past all the obstacles. Cast from your mind the lies and deceptions of Satan. Heed the sweetest of all invitation from the lips of our blessed Savior. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Much there is to harm us in the path we tread. This should not alarm us, since the Lord has said, he will never leave us till the day shall come when he will receive us to our blessed home. Why should they be fearful? Can the Lord be friends? Should they not be cheerful? Whom his arm defends? Who or what can harm them? Objects of his love. What then should alarm them when they're shielded from above? If his arm were shortened, then it could not save. We might be disheartened, cause we then should have. Were he deaf and could not hear his people pray? Were he changed and would not, that we might despair? But he changes never. He's still the same. Trust him then forever. Well assured of this, he with strength provides us. He from first to last. He from danger hides us till the storm is cast. Come, sinner, 10,000 welcome. Wait to embrace you. Welcome to and by Christ. He never ever cast a coming soul away. He called to them all to come, and he would lead them in that way. Thank God Abram heard. And in due time, He responded to God's command. And where did it bring him? It brought him to the altar. He built an altar and he saw the blood flow down from the sacrifice upon that altar. Where was that altar? It was between Bethel, which is the house of God, and Ai. You remember Ai was the place of sin. It was the only city that attacked the children of Israel after the city of Jericho was destroyed. So here we have God's house, Bethel. And here we have Ai, the place of sin. But between them, there's a cross. There's an altar. There's a sacrifice. There's a shedding of the blood and the putting away of the sin. I'm glad I'm not standing in Ai tonight. I'm glad I have come to the cross. And I'm glad I'm on the journey to Bethel, the house of God. This is the pilgrimage we have got to take. What a day it was when we first saw the light and the burden of our heart rolled away. When we saw and viewed ourselves lost. Oh, it's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. But my thank God, in our heart, there is a happiness that's better felt than dealt. Wonderful to be on the way home to the house of God. The man who is truly saved, he's no longer a doubter, but hallelujah, he's a shouter. Something has happened. He has shouted because he's a free man. Before this, he was in chains and in darkness and in the shadow of death. The old hymn writer wrote the lines, let us sing it here below. In the face of every foe, victory in Jesus. We will sing it on the shore when this fleeting life is o'er. Victory in Jesus. Sing here, ye ransomed throng. Sing here the everlasting song. Victory, victory, victory through the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Sinful man, in this meeting, you're rejecting Christ. Sinful woman in this meeting, you're rejecting Christ. Sinful boy and girl in this meeting, you're rejecting Christ. I plead with you now, with God's blessed word before you, don't commit the colossal sin that the sinners love to commit by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and skidding down as fast as you can the broad road to hell from which there's no escape if you pass by the cross and refuse God's way of salvation. As I preach here now, the angels of God around the throne of God are waiting for your answer. But more than that, God the Father awaits your answer. God the Holy Spirit awaits your answer. The people of God await your answer. Donald Campbell worked in the docks. One day when they had a few minutes after unloading a great ship, one of his fellow workers informed him that Christians are only killjoys. To prove the point, this man said, "Listen to this. The Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee all the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." And all the men cheered this young fellow for throwing this text of Scripture in the face of this dear Christian man, Donald Campbell. But Donald walked quietly over to a blackboard in the office on which quantities were marked up. And he wrote the end of the text. "But know thou that for all these things God will bring you to judgment." It was a bombshell. One by one, the men left the office. One by one, they hung their heads in shame. And the man who started the argument disappeared. For arguments were finished when God shut the mouth of those that used them. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Plead thou my cause, O Christ, thou advocate divine. I have no words, no argument, save thine. Speechless I stand before the bar of God. Guilty, lost, unless redeemed by blood. Base my behavior, I need a Savior. Mercy, my only plea. Take thou my cause, Lord. I trust thy grace, Lord. I will leave my whole defense with thee. Plead thou my cause, thou advocate divine. I need no words, no argument, save thine. Show but the wound prints in my hands and side, and I stand before thee gloriously, eternally justified. That's the only way of God's salvation. Just over 100 years ago, there was an old lady who died, and she was buried in the old churchyard of Enfield, England. On her tombstone, She gave instruction that after her death, 6 lines should be carved upon her tombstone. If friendship, kindness, truth, goodwill, and love could prove a passport to the realms above, this soul that tenanted this moldering frame to God's right hand might justly lay a claim. But her works she scorns, they're only worthless dust. Her Savior's merits were her only trust. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Don't leave this meeting house tonight until you're dead certain and absolutely sure that you're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Let's stand to our feet for prayer. O God, our Father, we pray that Thy holy word may smite every sinner in this house, and that no man or woman or boy or girl will dare to leave this preaching place until they have settled it forever through the blood of the Lamb. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. None need perish. All may live, for Christ has died. Bring every soul to Christ. Send a wave of gospel preaching across our province, and draw men after Thee. Save them from hell and the darkness and the torment of the never-ceasing judgment. Turn their feet to the narrow path. Turn their hearts unto God, and He will teach them the wisdom of His glorious salvation. Separate us now with Thy grace and with Thy peace. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. Could I just say that I will be available in my session room here after the service. And if you want to come and talk further with me about your personal salvation, I'm here, your servant, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.